MIT Sloan Management Review Podcast, bringing you the best new management research and ideas. There's a growing disconnect between the importance of sustainability to many corporate strategies and its lack of relevance to mainstream investors. Sustainability and Investor Value. Article briefing by Deb Gallagher and read here by Matt Robert Williams. File under Sustainability. More and more companies are translating their sustainability efforts into revenue and productivity. But for the most part, investors don't understand or even know about the shareholder value that sustainability initiatives can create. Part of the problem is that sustainability reporting, up until now, has been primarily targeted at the value investor, those actively seeking certain social responsibility standards. As a result, the indicators that could illuminate how sustainability affects business drivers did not really exist for today's investors. In a recent MIT Sloan Management Review article, authors David A. Lubin and Daniel C. Esty examined the gap that exists now in sustainability reporting. On the one hand, executives are reluctant to develop more sustainability metrics, while on the other, investors stand back, waiting for better gauges of sustainability's financial impact. Lubin and Esty argue persuasively that now is the time to address that gap. Given that the expected steady increases in the impacts of climate change, regulatory pressures, and evolving consumer attitudes are likely to make sustainability strategy even more important going forward, we believe mainstream investors will reward companies that demonstrate business gains from sustainability, provided investors can easily spot the sustainability winners. The greatest opportunity for such a sustainability premium is during the early stages of a comparatively new phenomenon, such as the emerging sustainability imperative. That's when superior performance creates the best chance for differentiation from competitors. The authors use DuPont as an example of how to develop sustainability data for investors that is built around the drivers they understand: revenue growth, productivity, and risk. On the revenue front, one of DuPont's key sustainability-driven revenue growth metrics for the 2007 to 2012 period is as follows. Revenue from products based on non-depletable resources doubled from $5.9 billion on a 2007 revenue base of $29.4 billion to $11.8 billion on a 2012 revenue base of $35 billion. Put another way, DuPont's revenue from products based on non-depletable resources increased 100% over the six-year period, compared to revenue growth of about 18% from the company as a whole during that time. So the ratio of revenue growth from products based on non-depletable resources to the company's overall revenue growth was more than 5-to-1. This kind of figure enables investors to easily see the role being played by sustainability-advantaged products, which in turn helps them to understand the sustainability strategy and the competitive advantage that DuPont will gain from investments in its sustainable solutions. In terms of productivity gains from sustainability, DuPont reported $6 billion in aggregate cost avoidance from energy-saving efforts between 1990 and 2010. That level of savings suggests a material impact during that period on DuPont's net income, which was $3 billion in 2010. And in risk management, DuPont has highlighted six key areas of potential future exposure, including absolute levels of greenhouse gas emissions, water use in water-stressed locations, air carcinogen emissions, and manufacturing plant certifications. DuPont reports that water consumption in water-scarce or stressed locations declined from 6 billion to 5 billion gallons between 2007 and 2012. The authors compute a stressed water intensity percentage of revenue figure that relates water use to revenue growth and find a 30% decrease from 0.20 to 0.14 gallons per dollar of revenue for DuPont for this period, a significant shift. For companies eager to highlight the business drivers behind their sustainability strategy, where to start? The authors suggest beginning with reporting metrics related to revenue growth. And if your company tracks top-line revenue impacts from sustainability-designated products and services, consider creating a sustainability-driven growth metric, S&G. Such a metric could be included in your primary business performance reporting on at least an annual basis. If, on the other hand, your company hasn't yet begun to identify the growth, productivity, and risk metrics from your sustainability efforts, it's worth starting right now. There is a learning curve, but there are many excellent models, and the results will be worth it. Say the authors, investors seeking to capitalize on the forces driving sustainability strategies must be able to distinguish companies that are pursuing carefully structured and successfully implemented sustainability strategies that deliver actual material business advantages from those with less well-designed or well-executed strategies. This article draws from Bridging the Sustainability Gap by David A. Lubin and Daniel C. Estee, which appeared on the June 17, 2014 issue of MIT's Sloan Management Review and read here by Matt Robert Williams. To learn more or read the full version of this article, please visit sloanreview.mit.edu.